First, let's talk about a regional issue that's popped up over the last couple of months regarding boating and fishing and swimming near the Cumberland River dams, and specifically on the Lake Barkley Dam. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is holding a series of public meetings about a policy reinterpretation that would prohibit dam tailwater access closer to 500 feet on all Cumberland River dams. But some water sport businesses in our region say that this is going to really cost them millions of dollars in tourism revenues. And I wonder where you stand on the Corps' new interpretation of this rule.
I was not satisfied with the Corps' explanation at that meeting. First of all, the operation management plan for the Barkley Dam on the Cumberland River has been in effect since 1996. And there has not been any significant increase of danger for fishermen, recreation boatmen in the area. So our primary concern was, why is it right now you have decided, and they left us with a clear impression that they have decided by May of this year that they're going to have that blocked off certain feet with buoys or signs or whatever to keep boatmen out. But when we asked them why, the only explanation that they gave is that we do not feel we're in compliance with our own regulation. And they didn't talk about increased danger for the public. They didn't talk about anything else. In fact, the staffer that answered the question made the comment that our peers from the Corps of Engineers and other districts came in and, in reviewing our regulations, determined that our operation management plan was not in compliance with our own regulation. Well, the one thing we know about regulations, and particularly, is that they are interpreted in different ways by different people. And that's why you get a lot of lawsuits on regulations. So I did not feel that the Corps had any real basis for all of a sudden changing their management plan to prevent fishermen from getting closer to the dam. So because of that, we've got a request in to meet with the head of the Corps of Engineers in the United States in Washington, D.C., and we're hoping that that meeting is going to take place early February.
And would you request that they do away with the regulation in general or interpret it the way they did before?
No, I would just say leave your current management plan as it is. Mm-hmm. And there was no satisfactory explanation given for changing. At all of the dams for which the Tennessee Corps is responsible, there have been like three deaths since 96, and there's been one death at Barkley. The goal is no death, but there has not been any number of deaths or increase in dangerous activity or deaths to justify changing this management plan, particularly when you consider the cost of doing it versus anticipated benefits from doing it. The damage to tourism far exceed any benefits from doing it.
On another Corps-related issue, do you see a solution to the dropping water levels on the Mississippi and its impact on our river traffic?
Well, I don't know what the solution is, but it's a major issue, and it's really affecting the cost of transportation of goods down the Mississippi River, and it's an ongoing concern. And, you know, we talk to the Corps about it frequently, as well as the people in the water industry, and I don't know what the final resolution is going to be.
It's whether or not the Corps would allow more water to flow from the Missouri, but then the Corps contends that if they let more water flow from the Missouri and we find ourselves in another drought, that it could be even worse this year than it was last year.
Correct.
What are your personal stances on our gun laws?
I'm a staunch defender of the Second Amendment rights, and I think that the courts have interpreted it the right way so far, and so I'm opposed to any change of it.
So even closing the loopholes on background checks for people trying to purchase guns, at I guess they call it the gun show exception?
Correct.
So you're opposed to that, and you're opposed to anything, so any changes, which would be assault weapons bans or clips, reducing the clip size?
Yes.
Well, let's talk about the fiscal cliff vote that happened just after New Year's. The Kentucky delegation was split, which it's pretty common to see the party split between Democrats and Republicans. But fellow Republican Hal Rogers joined with the Democrats to pass the tax hike. What separated you two, though, in this particular vote?
Well, I think that vote was made with a lot of factors to consider. First of all, I am genuinely concerned about the size of our debt. I voted against this thing for four reasons. Number one, it raised taxes. Number two, it did not reduce spending. In fact, it increased spending. And four, it was filled with corporate welfare. And five, it was business as usual on Capitol Hill, in my view. And I say that because just like there was $12 billion in there in tax credits for the wind industry, there was money in there for Hollywood. There was tax breaks and credits for a lot of different industries. I thought it was much broader than it needs to be. And it was, and I say business as usual because, generally speaking, in Washington, when we find ourselves at a deadline and something has to pass, it's inevitable that somewhere stacked away in the legislation are tax breaks or tax benefits or grants or loan guarantees for various company and industries.
Well, then what would have been your ideal solution? Because it, had there not been a vote, taxes would have increased on everyone.
Correct.
But you wouldn't want to increase taxes on anyone. So it puts, I think it puts all lawmakers in a pretty tight spot.
Here's the difference that I had. We should have sent it back to Harry Reid at least one time. We did not even send it back to him one time. And I know he has said, oh, I'm not going to do anything. But I thought we had an obligation to send it back. We could have had the tax increases that were in there. We could have reduced the amount of excessive spending. We could have put some reductions in spending in there, and we could have eliminated the corporate welfare that was in there and sent it back over there. So I didn't view a no vote as necessarily the very end and that taxes would go up on everyone.
Has this helped or hurt your relationship with the Speaker? Because there is some dissension among the ranks in the Republican Party right now.
Well, it hasn't hurt my relationship with him. You know, one thing about politics is there are a lot of different views and there's a lot of disagreements on a lot of issues.
Let's talk about the next couple of big items on the plate for Congress would be, of course, the debt ceiling and also the sequester plan.
Yeah.
Do you think that sequester is going to happen, this plan, or do you think something different will happen by way of spending cuts?
I think that sequester very well may happen. I think the reason that we find ourselves facing sequestration was that all efforts to reduce spending have failed, and so the president is the one that made the suggestion, if we can't reach an agreement on the spending and the taxes, then we'll just have a sequestration. And so I think that there's enough support now in the Congress to let sequestration take effect because many people view it, this is the only way we're going to be able to reduce spending. And I want to make a comment about the debt ceiling. You know, when we talk about the debt ceiling, it's really a complex issue because we find ourselves with this tremendous debt because of past decisions by the House, the Senate, and the President. And interestingly enough, 1939 was about the first time that the United States government ever actually had a debt. And since 2008, the end of fiscal year 2008, our debt in the country has increased by almost $8 trillion. So we're having an unprecedented growth in our federal debt. And today, for the first time in the last two, 3 months, our debt now exceeds our gross domestic product. And so when you talk about not raising the debt ceiling, you in essence are saying, well, we're not going to give the government the authority to pay the debt. And if we did that, then I think that since we have to borrow a lot of money, we would make it much more difficult for the U.S. because we're going to have to pay higher interest rates, which is going to make our debt even worse. And the irresponsibility that has occurred up here for so many years is really appalling. Because of that $16 trillion of debt, about almost $5 trillion of the debt has come from things like the Highway Trust Fund, from Social Security, from Medicare Part A, from the federal government pension fund. And so the government, all these years, this excess money that have gone into these trust funds, the government has spent all of it and just put IOUs in these funds. So we owe a lot of money to China and other countries, as well as the public, but the government also owes itself about $5 trillion. But one of the things that I'm thinking about doing is directing the president, whoever it may be, to make a declaration of the U.S. government debt. And I want to do this for a couple of reasons. Number one, I want the American people to be very much aware of how much the federal debt really is. Number two, be transparent about it, because there's not really any one place where you can get all of this answered. So in this declaration of debt, directing the president to make a declaration of debt, we would want it to be made to be available to the public, to every member of Congress, to be issued on the day of the president's annual State of the Union address. And in the document, it would be very clear. Number one, what is the debt? What is the amount of the debt? How much is it greater than or less than last year at this time? And what percent of gross domestic product is it? And then second page would be historical year-by-year analysis of the actual debt. And then how much is private debt? How much is public debt? And then what is the projection for the unfunded liability?
Do you sense that'll be a challenge to get that passed?
Probably.
And why do you think so?
Well, because there's going to be so many different ideas, and there's some people want to shut the government down, and there's just different philosophical approaches to it.
Okay, Congressman Ed Whitfield, the 1st District Congressional Representative here for Kentucky. Thank you very much for your time.
Chad, thanks.